Welcome to Hub and Flow, a podcast produced by Natural Gas Intelligence. On a mission to provide transparency to the natural gas market, Hub and Flow focuses on key fundamentals driving the price of natural gas and LNG in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Natural Gas Intelligence, or NGI, is a subscription-based price reporting agency, which means we provide trusted and independent natural gas pricing and news for the North American market.
Hello, everyone. This is Kevin Dobbs, Senior Markets Editor with NGI. Welcome to the Hub and Flow podcast. Here with me today is Paragon Global Markets LLC's Steve Blair, Managing Director of Institutional Energy Sales. We're going to discuss natural gas production, storage, domestic weather, demand, LNG, and both the futures and cash price outlook for the coming summer. Welcome back, Steve.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
Good, good. So you've joined us a couple times for this now, but for new listeners, maybe you could just give us a quick review about what you do in your current role and a little bit about your background overall in the industry.
All righty. Basically, my current role, basically the same as it's been for quite some time. I'm an energy futures broker in the natural gas and crude oil and refined product sectors. I've been involved in the natural gas sector since the beginning of natural gas futures back in, I believe, 1990. And I talk with and do business with mostly institutional energy companies using the markets for risk management.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. So kind of diving in right now, we're coming out of the end of winter into the spring. A lot of people, of course, looking ahead to the summer, the potential for an early cooling season. But what's been a big part of the news as far as natural gas goes has been the record level of production or near record level. We hit that level late in 2023 and again in early 2024. But some of the big producers, Chesapeake being the first, have announced plans to pull back and have actually, we have seen some pullback in production in recent weeks. This week, it's maybe about, and we're talking mid-March here, about 3.5 to 4 BCF per day, lower than what we saw in the early February highs. I'm just kind of curious what you're seeing with production, and do you expect that further curtailments, or do you expect us to level off at a certain area? What are your expectations on the production front?
Well, obviously, it seems to have leveled off. The market reaction to both of those curtailments by Chesapeake and EQT were immediate but not sustained. And that just simply tells me that we still have a tremendous amount of production. The LNG market, export market, has been, although better than it was last year at this time, obviously, it's been a little sluggish. And unfortunately, when you get a little sluggish feed gas flows down to the Gulf for export, it's got to go somewhere else. And, of course, it goes into storage and, you know, to domestic production usage. So the only thing I see might help the situation is if we have another large producer that potentially has a curtailment of their own and we take a little bit more gas off the market. The most logical way that I think that we're going to have any impact on lowering storage and production is if there's an early start to the cooling season, which you mentioned at the very beginning. Here in the New York City tri-state area, we had a small portent of things to come, possibly, when we were hitting 70 degrees, you know, a week or so ago, and we were walking around in short-sleeve shirts for, you know, almost a full week before this cold came back in, or I shouldn't say cold, but more normal type weather.
Right, right. So that's a good point. So we had an exceptionally mild winter, aside from a big burst of cold in January, but that was a couple of weeks, and then otherwise it's been pretty much benign overall. Sure, there's some pockets of exceptions, but overall really benign. But given recent history in the summers, we have seen in a lot of areas hotter and longer summers. So it's really not at all out of the realm of plausibility to expect a long and robust cooling season, is it?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, if you look and I won't use the word historically, but if you look at our most recent history, last year we had a very similar situation. We had a very mild winter in the 22-23, winter season, followed by early warm weather. So it's not out of the cards. Is that a question of climate warming or not? I don't know. I think the jury's probably still out on that, but we had a repeat. The only difference we had here in this area was this year we actually had a little bit of snow, but not much. My snowblower never got out of the shed. So we didn't get much, and last year we got virtually nothing. So, that may be what we have coming for this summer season here in the U.S. And going back to the original question, is the Biden administration putting a halt to export licenses temporarily? It did not help the market, even though Energy Secretary Granholm yesterday at the CERAWeek conference in Houston made mention that would be gone by the end of the year. But I don't know if that's really instilling much confidence to the market. And of course, we know that if Mr. Trump wins in November, I think he'd put an end to it immediately anyway. That is not something that's, helping the markets right now.
Okay. I want to come back to LNG here, but before we move on to that, I just wanted to circle back on storage. We're talking on March 21st here on a Thursday. The latest EIA storage report came out earlier today, showing again that the surplus of supplies in storage are way above the five-year average, more than 40% above the five-year average at this stage. I mean, it's just immense in overall, and as well as in several regions, including the South Central, the Midwest, the Mountain and Pacific regions. So we clearly have an abundance of storage. Do you think, that strikes me as that's been the one and biggest bearish factor on prices, at least particularly on cash prices. Is that something you've been seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no doubt that the surplus has been the largest factor in the collapse of near-term pricing. In fact, when you look at the price curve, you notice that prices which continue to be in contango through January of 25 are noticeably higher, which indicates to me that the market is more concerned for the near term than for down the road into summer and next winter, where more demand may be in the cards. Now, of course, that could change fairly quickly depending upon how the weather situation plays out. And of course, natural gas being a global market now, the demand situations of both Europe and Asia certainly come into play. Another point that needs to be thought about is that the lower pricing has been a factor in coal to gas switching. Rystad Energy the other day reported that the trend for European switching is expected to continue this year after there was a large shift in 2023. So I think the market phenomenon right now is a near-term wait and see how summer progresses, whether it's early or not here, to see how things are going to go down the road.
Right. So, when you look at the demand side of things, you got the power sector demand, which is holding steady, a potential for increases. You've got industrial demand, which is relatively strong. The residential and substantially lighter, largely due to domestic weather. But if you get that early and strong summer demand, and then in that is followed by ramp up of LNG demand alongside weather-driven demand in either Europe or Asia, you could see that storage surplus dwindle quite quickly, right?
Yeah, it could. We've had relatively mild winter weather in many regional locations and less heating demand than would be expected. But if you look at the National Weather Service data, the current three-month outlook for the December 24 through Feb 25 period shows above normal temps in the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, Eastern Seaboard, and the Gulf Coast, as well as much of the southern half of the lower 48. So at this point, indications are for another mild U.S. winter next year. So if we're going to see storage come down, we've got to see two things: increased LNG demand globally, probably out of Asia more than Europe, and, you know, as well as domestic demand. I think those two things have to occur if storage is going to start coming down and prices start going up.
And then longer term, of course, we've got all these new LNG export facilities in the works on the Gulf Coast. The potential, as you know, for increases long term in Asian demand in particular, that would seem to be the largest reason the production has remained relatively strong, while coming down some, relatively strong by historical standards, so that you know, producers are ready for that coming wave of LNG demand. I kind of just kind of curious how you are viewing the next 5 years, 4 or 5 years, the rest of this decade, essentially, in terms of that, the LNG factor and, you know, the long-term outlook for prices.
Well, I think on a longer-term basis, let's put it this way, I don't think on a near-term basis there would be any substantial bearish factors to U.S. gas prices further than what we've already had. But on a longer term, you know, going out to 2025, that scenario, I think, will start to play out as we get into probably the end of summer or the fall shoulder season, to see what the summer brought us. If we go out farther to, you know, 2025-26 winter season, we'll have a better idea at that point, both domestically and globally, what demand might look like. You know, in the meantime, though, U.S. gas prices in the near term seem to be at levels where long hedges such as utilities could take advantage of opportunities to place some long hedges at these lower levels, which can bring down their average prices. And I'm talking about hedges that go out, you know, a year or two. So it could potentially, these prices could potentially actually be helpful to long hedgers.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point. Okay. Okay. Well, great, Steve. As always, great to hear your viewpoints on both domestic and global demand and supply. Always helpful. Appreciate it. And with that, allow me to wrap up by noting that NGI presents this podcast to help our subscribers make more informed business decisions about markets and the developments and news that drive them. To read our coverage and more, please visit and subscribe to NGI at naturalgasintelligence.com. Thanks, everyone. Thanks again, Steve.
You're welcome, Kevin. Talk to you soon.
Dependable data drives informed business decisions. Trust NGI to provide your natural gas and LNG data for North America. If your business requires daily, weekly, or bid-week pricing data, forward curves, or flow data, NGI has a reliable product suite to support you. Visit natgasintel.com/services to understand what we have to offer and how we can help you and your business today. Thank you for listening to NGI's Hub and Flow podcast today. We encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, rate and review it, and please do share it with your colleagues. A trusted provider of natural gas news, data, and pricing information for North America, NGI offers subscription-based products. Please visit natgasintel.com if you are interested in NGI and our services. If you would like to dive deeper into this subject, additional resources are available on our website as well. Just visit natgasintel.com and click on the resources tab to find the podcast page.